Chapter 9. Adam watched Chris run through the doors of a warehouse and turn to leave. He had components to pick up if he wanted to complete the security modifications on the apartment, and it was doubtful that anything would occur during business hours, at least nothing that would require his intervention.
"The hell you think you're going, Alan?"
Adam paused as Alpha scanned and identified the aggressive timbre in the tone. Adam approached the warehouse door. Enhancing his vision, he watched the man beckon to Chris and then fail to move aside.
Scanning body language repository. Gesture categorized as intimidating. Dominating behavior pattern. Intention to make subject feel inferior, uncomfortable.
Adam's eyes narrowed. There was a feeling in the air. Non-quantifiable, that put him on edge. Slipping through the doors, he made his way quickly to the outer wall of the office. It was a poor fabrication, stucco board pinned to solid girders. Adam looked around, scanners picking out the workers. This was too public. If he stood here, the probability of being questioned was high, and that was not acceptable.
Scan of structure complete. Roof designed as supplementary storage structure. Metallic composite, tested for weights up to 6 tons. Probability of supporting weight, 99.91%.
There was a set of shelves to the right of the office that would suit his needs perfectly. It took less than 20 seconds to cross the floor and climb to the necessary level.
Stealth mode engaged.
Nanites created soft soles to his boots and restyled his clothing, allowing him to blend perfectly with the surroundings. His breathing evened out and quieted. Looking around, he carefully crept across the metal roof, flattening himself against the structure as he enhanced his audio receptors. Adam frowned as he listened to the conversation below. He frowned as he heard the words, extrapolating their meaning and the likely implications for Chris. The man was attempting to coerce Chris into undertaking a course of action in which Chris did not want to engage. Adam's hands fisted, and his eyes narrowed as he listened on. An ultimatum.
Begin message from Alpha. Caretaker's vocal structure suggests high degree of anxiety. Directive number 1. Protect the caretaker.
Adam dismissed the message, choosing instead to engage his infrared scanners. Chris was moving quickly, making his way to the door, and Adam crept a little closer to the edge of the roof, expecting to see Chris emerge any second. However, there was a second person in the room, following closely.
Access Police Department Dispatch System. Review current deployment of vehicles. Unit 63 identified as closest available vehicle. Calculate possible ETA of Unit 63 using standard routes. ETA, 5.36 minutes. Calculating possible ETA of Unit 63 using emergency routes. ETA, 2.98 minutes.
Adam heard the whimpers below him. He was uncertain whether the situation would remain unchanged for a further 3 minutes.
Directive number 1. Protect the caretaker.
He was unsure whether the message originated with Alpha, or whether it was a simultaneous execution. Adam rose to a crouch, spreading his fingers wide as he placed his hands on the roof.
Change nanite configuration. Execute program 19 Gamma Variant 7. Program 19 Gamma executed. Variant 7 engaged.
Silver spread out from his hands, bubbling as it ate away the metal structure around him. Adam braced as he counted down. 4, 3, 2, 1. He dropped, landing in a crouch behind the target. Targeting sights overlaid his vision, tracking for a viable shot. The target stood tight against Chris, too close to guarantee a kill shot without also injuring Chris. An irrational subroutine deep in his subconscious would not settle for anything less than termination of the target. The nanites lay in silver puddles around him. With a command, the drops rolled across the floor and joined with him. Adam rose smoothly and closed the distance between him and his target. Grasping the back of his shirt, he lifted him off the ground and tossed him against the back wall. "Are you damaged?" Chris's eyes opened and he blinked up at Adam. "Are you damaged?" Adam asked again.
Begin message from Alpha. Tracking target. Target stunned and immobile.
Chris still didn't answer, just looked up at him. He did not like this quiet version of Chris. It was not conforming to standard baselines. He could detect no damage, but without verbal confirmation, he would have to engage alternate methods of determining Chris's health status.
Begin medical scan. Subject, Chris. Scan complete. Minor abrasions. Minor bruising to wrists. Minor bruising to mandible. Heart rate, elevated at 180 beats per minute. Blood pressure, elevated but within normal threshold. No medical intervention necessary.
My scans say that you suffered only minor damage. Adam tried again. Do you require assistance?
Begin message from Alpha. Tracking target. Target stunned but beginning to revive.
Chris shook his head. You're here. How? When? That is unimportant. Adam shrugged off the question, hoping that Chris would forget to pursue this line of questioning at a later date. He turned to face the target still crumpled at the other end of the office. He was starting to move, getting his feet under him. Adam's hand flashed silver as his nanites created a razor-sharp blade. He slowly advanced on the prone man. His targeting sights locked on the man's throat, locating the pulsations of his target's jugular. A single slice and death would be instantaneous.
The hell?
The target shook his head, eyes widening as they caught the light flashing off his blade.
That's it. I'm gonna have your ass. Both your asses.
What are you... Chris's voice behind him. Adam, no! You can't! Stop, please! Adam looked at Chris and saw fear in his eyes. He hesitated and the blade was reabsorbed. Something flashed through him, faster than he could identify, and Adam returned to view his target, starting diagnostics to check his circuitry. Using the filing cabinet, the target hauled himself to his feet and unsteadily walked over to the desk. Adam's eyes tracked him as he moved to keep himself between the target and Chris. Chris may not have wished the target's death, but Adam wanted to be in position to act should he attempt to further damage his caretaker. The instructions from Chris had been oblique, unclear, and Adam decided to test his boundaries. You attempted to injure Chris. Adam kept his voice low, modulating it so that the man heard anger in the tone. That is unacceptable.
I'm calling the cops.
The man reached for the phone, but Adam was there before he could lift the receiver, pressing down painfully on his wrist.
Get off me! Get off me, or I'll have you...
Adam shifted slightly as Chris took a step closer, still keeping himself between the target and his caretaker.
You will not call the police, but perhaps I will,
Adam smirked. AMD Warehousing Incorporated, registered owner Andrew Marks Devereaux, identification code TXSTRC79-1983-9833400R. Known aliases, Andrew Dufault, Mark Devereaux, Mark Warburg. Outstanding warrants. 3 counts unlawful knowledge. 3 counts sexual assault. 2 counts extortion. 2 counts arson. Law enforcement status. At large. Reward offered by 4 different corporations. Cybernex Technologies, Ribonex Pharmaceuticals, Marison Incorporated, Johnson Hughes Incorporated.
How did you...
Devereaux blanched and pulled his hand free, stumbling backwards as Adam released him. Christopher Neil Allen is terminating his employment with your organization with immediate effect. Adam stepped back beside Chris. You will pay him a severance. Devereaux nodded hurriedly. Adam watched him as he pulled out the cash box and started counting out money.
What?
Adam, I can't. Chris started, his hand pulling Adam to face him. This is an unsafe working environment, Chris. To have you working here would violate Directive 1 of my protocols, Adam stated plainly. Chris dropped his voice until only Adam's enhanced audio could pick him up.
I need this job.
Adam frowned and tilted his head to the side a fraction as he watched Chris.
Why?
Do you have any idea how hard it was for me to get this job? Chris's eyes flicked from Adam to Devereaux and back again. Do you know how hard it is to get any job if you don't have cyberware?
It is not safe here, Adam insisted. I cannot allow you to continue working here.
Chris glared at him, his hand tightening on Adam's arm.
You cannot allow. Listen, buddy, I've lived 23 years of my life without you looking out for me. Don't think that just 'cause I saved your ass that you get to tell me what I can and can't do. That isn't how this works.
Adam flicked a glance at Devereaux. This is not a secured location. Chris settled down a little.
Yeah, well, you're not getting off the hook that easily. We'll continue this at home.
Adam studied Chris's face and saw that Chris was serious. In the short time since he had met Chris, he had noted that the small man was stubborn, but Adam was sure that once they had conversed on the issue that Chris would see the logic of Adam's decision and accept it as the only valid course of action. Taking the money from Devereaux, Chris thanked the man and stalked out, Adam on his heels.
This squares us, yeah, Devereaux called after him.
Adam did not answer. The man had attempted to injure Chris. There was nothing that Devereaux could provide that would compensate for that. And while his caretaker had prohibited direct retribution, even now a coded file was transversing the optical highways towards police headquarters. There was more than one way to destroy someone.